This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. Text line totally split on what we were talking about in the last segment. We got a golf attire civil war on our hands. And I love it. And I love this as a Friday topic. If you want to weigh in on whether or not you were offended by Jose Luis Ballester wearing the Arizona State hat with the upside down font, you can. At 412-928-9370. You can text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you.
Did you call it a civil war?
Yeah.
Well, the three of us seem to be on the same page, and you're out there.
I was reading the text line. I'm happy to hear that you're paying attention to the show now.
Absolutely.
Texter, would Savrin, your mentor, ever not be dressed properly? Should I do it? When Stan had TV, he would show up in the studio and he'd have his tie, right? And he'd have his suit and all that. And he would be all dressed up. He would just have to put his jacket on and he would leave. But on the days where Stan was only doing radio, he looked like me. You know, he just sweatshirt and hat. But yeah, there are rules. Like, you're supposed to wear nice clothes on TV.
Right.
Just doesn't mean I have to agree with it because we're talking about sports. If I was talking about national security, I'd probably want to wear a suit and tie.
Why?
Well, because you'd like to be taken seriously. I don't care if I'm taken seriously when I'm talking about sports. We're talking about games.
But we're talking about fitting into a greater culture. It's not about being taken seriously.
I'm a counterculture guy, my man.
It's a profession. It's a professional endeavor.
If this is the custom of a place where you're going,
yeah,
and you don't have enough time, like what Doran is saying, nobody's arguing with Ballester's right to do this eventually. He wins a couple tournaments on the Pro Tour.
See, I think you're stepping on your own argument there, though. I think respect should be respect. Like, if you're saying he's disrespectful, then you're either disrespectful or you're not.
Okay.
Your accomplishment shouldn't have anything to do with that.
Okay. Yes, they should, because you've got some time. You've earned it.
But that's not to say that, and the people that have earned it don't usually do it anyway. That's the thing. Like, even if you have earned it, Scottie Scheffler has earned it. He would never do that.
He would
but
never.
He could. But they would never, the ones that earn it don't do it because they respect the game.
And we're talking about the hat, not the peeing, right?
Right, yeah.
Because I think I'm going to find a lot less people on my side about the peeing than I am the hat.
Right.
And I could see why people would say, hey, dude, don't pee on the golf course. At Augusta National. I guess we're at the impasse, though, where I just don't think upside down font is disrespectful. That's all. Shall we do our other segment that we had scheduled previously? Texter, no worries, Crowley. No one takes you seriously anyway. That's right. That's fine. I'm a reverend. Can you be a reverend if you say you're a reverend? Probably not. Kind of like Rogers, who's like, I'm an enigma, and you're not. You can't say you're an enigma and then actually be an enigma. All right, now it's time for our award-winning segment, Things You Didn't Know, Things You Don't Care to Know, but it's sports-related. Bang! Bang! Ah!
There we go.
Bang! All right, can I start?
Sure, please.
Ozzie Guillen, former manager of the Chicago White Sox, World Series champion, and a nutcase, said that he thinks hosting a radio show is harder than managing a Major League Baseball team. And I just got to say, I've never felt more seen. This is a victory lap for all of us, guys. Anytime we question Derek Shelton, and even though he's not popular, you'll get it on the text line. You think you know more baseball than Derek Shelton? No, but I'm paid to give my opinion on what Derek Shelton does. Ozzie Guillen says it's harder to be me than it is to be Derek Shelton. And I don't know that we need to go further. I just want to say thank you, Ozzie Guillen. I appreciate that. Love it.
Oh, man. It's hilarious to me, and I brought this up a little bit yesterday. It's hilarious to me. And then, you know, it makes sense in a way whenever you see, like, Ken Griffey, and then you see Ken Griffey Jr. that could hit the baseball. You know, and then, you know, some other athletes that are out there. I mean, even Bronny James with LeBron James. Like, he plays basketball. He's good. He can, you know, can drive. I mean, he's going to be good. He's young. It is amazing to me that Deion Sanders' kids are slow. I mean, I've been thinking about that for about a week. Like, they are not fast. How is one of the fastest football players ever, and they have, and he has two kids that are good enough to play in the NFL, but they can't run? It makes no sense to me. How are Deion Sanders' kids slow? Like,
always baffles me when you have a guy. This isn't just football. They're a professional athlete, but their kid plays a completely different position.
Yeah.
Like, Mark Bruner's kid plays linebacker. Why doesn't he play tight end?
Right.
That's not a far leap. That's not the same. But you know what I'm saying.
Doran, you're raising some tight ends, right? I mean, come on.
Oh, honestly, I'm not. None of them.
Yeah.
None will be a tight end.
Really?
Probably not. By choice? But I wasn't a tight end. I just kind of just had to play there because they put me there. But it's just amazing.
I didn't know if that was like an active, no, you're not playing. I don't want you to play there.
No. It's just because.
Okay.
I love that, dude.
I mean, Deion Sanders Jr., who's the cornerback, he'll get drafted. He'll probably get drafted by the Steelers if the Steelers take Shedeur Sanders. You know how the Steelers like the bloodline.
Oh,
so
my God.
You see Deion Sanders Jr., he's going to go in the sixth round to the Steelers or whatever their pick, their late seventh-round pick.
Right.
But he ran like a 4.6. I think Shedeur ran like a 4.65. Like, how? Deion ran a 4.2.
It's got to be mom.
Mom's slow.
We got a slow mom.
Amazing. Stuff. It's amazing.
You got one, Mackie.
You know, I don't.
I should
have been
one.
More prepared.
I got
I'm
one.
I'm sorry.
I got one. It's because you were folding your pants. Pressing your pants. New York Yankees outfielder, now allowed to shave, Cody Bellinger has sworn off chicken wings for 5 years following a recent bout with food poisoning. Bellinger announced his decision Wednesday, 2 days after he consumed some room service chicken wings at the Yankees team hotel in Detroit. Folks,
I did have one. I just remembered it.
Hot dogs at gas stations, room service chicken wings, probably just better to stay away.
Yeah. Spicy pork.
Yes.
Have you ever eaten a meat from a gas station?
Yeah.
Hot dog?
No.
Chicken wings?
Yep. I mean,
I've never done it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm scared.
Oh, yeah. Crush it.
Crush it.
I get these little taquito things every morning when I come in. You'll see me with those like once a week. That's
you know
from
what?
The gas station.
You know what? Those are pretty good.
Yeah.
But they're black bean, right?
No.
You get the meaty ones.
No, it's like bacon, egg, and cheese.
Oh. I'll allow it.
I mean, it's at 4 a.m.
I think the rules are different late at night or early in the morning.
Oh, no doubt.
Okay.
No doubt. The hours of like
stuff.
11 to 5 a.m., you know, 11 p.m. to 5 a.m.
I think I've eaten everything.
It's lawless.
Out of a gas station that you could possibly eat that you probably wouldn't. Like, I've had sushi.
Oh.
Yep. A hoagie. A burrito. Yeah.
Sushi definitely tops the list in terms of disgusting there.
Yeah.
I think.
I mean,
gas
it was good.
Station sushi.
Yeah.
But I've done it.
Here's one for you guys. This is sort of a topic. Austin Wells, catcher from the New York Yankees, reviews breakfast burritos in every clubhouse that he's in. If you could review one food that you feel like you're fairly an expert on and you could give an opinion in and out how this comes off in other cities, what would it be?
Because
I think PNC Park did pretty well when the Yankees were in here. That's when it became a story. Like, Austin Wells was in favor of what they served them.
If I were going town to town to review food, I mean, I'd probably want to try everybody's best steak.
I'd probably go pizza, like Portnoy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'd probably Portnoy, I can't even say it.
One bite, everybody knows the rules.
Yeah.
I think the one thing he's ever done right in his life is, well, he's done a lot. He makes a lot of money. his evaluation of pizza comes down to flop.
Yep.
And I'm with him.
Like, yes.
I don't want any flop in my slice.
Mm-hmm.
I need an erect slice, no
mm-hmm.
flop.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I knew that was
good. What would you do?
Probably barbecue. I don't feel qualified. Like, I feel a little silly saying it in front of Doran, who I know knows a lot more about this vein than, like, you actually smoke meats and take a lot of time with that. I don't know how to do that, but it is my favorite food. I would love to just go and sample that everywhere.
Yeah, there's some bad barbecue out there, though, too. Like,
I mean, oh, yeah, no doubt.
You know, like, some of that press box, like, if you go down south, I mean, some of it's really good, dude. Some of it is just awful.
Yep.
Barbecue around these parts are good barbecue, few and far between, I think.
Yeah, it's hard to find it.
Yeah. All right. That was things you didn't know, things you don't care to know, but it's sports related. Coming up next, TJ Watt and the Steelers. It's something of an impasse, somewhat of an impasse regarding his contract. We'll get into what that all means, what should be done.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
I would say this for TJ Watt, a couple of things. And this is not with any firm knowledge background, but one, he's in a contract here, plainly due for an upgrade, doesn't have it yet. Two, I would fairly tell you TJ Watt probably is getting a little sick of waiting on the quarterback question as well. It's the Pittsburgh Steelers. Do you want to play here or do you not? Cam Hayward, who then proceeded to try to walk that back several times, when he said, you want to be a Pittsburgh Steeler or you don't. I don't need to make more of a pitch. That opinion, from everything I've been told, is not solely to Cam Hayward. There are other people, certainly in the organization, in the locker room, who are just going like, what are we doing? We're back for off-season workouts in, you know, 10 days. We're coming up on the draft. What is the plan?
Jason Mackey in with us until 10 o'clock. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at SouthHillsKia.net. That was Tom Pelissero on the Rich Eisen Show. Jason, have the Steelers screwed up this whole TJ Watt thing?
No, I don't think so. I think they would screw it up more if they paid him more than Myles Garrett.
Wow.
It didn't address. I mean, that's probably an extreme take. I just would not have a problem if he's unhappy, if he wants out. I wouldn't double down and say, okay, we're going to make you happy with a whole bunch of money. Like, I don't think that's the best thing for the organization. I don't. I mean, I get the romance of him being a one-helmet guy. It's certainly not to diminish any of his productivity. None of that. I just don't think it's smart business. I think they spend too much money on defense. I think they should spend more money on offense. This is the first sort of pivot point where that's come up, and we're sitting here looking at a guy who maybe said peace out on Instagram because he wants to go somewhere else. Like, okay. That's fine. I'm not going to pay you $42 million a year. I'm not.
What should they do? What should they do with him then?
I mean, I'd trade him. I've said that before. I would trade him. I'd take the assets back. I'd try to. Now, if the return was awful, maybe not. But I'm sorry, Doran. Would you guys pay him that amount of money? I would not. I'm not interested in that. I think teams like the Browns do that, and what have they accomplished? Teams like the Steelers over the past 8 years. What have you accomplished? I would want to do business differently.
If I were running a franchise that was close to winning a Super Bowl, I would absolutely pay him more than Myles Garrett. The Steelers are not close to winning a Super Bowl.
But if you're close to winning a Super Bowl, how do you have that much money available? Your money's probably tied up in other players.
So then he's not going to have any trade value then.
Yeah, it's going to be tough.
And then you're going to be trapped then, right? I mean, if you're not willing to pay him the 42 and you're telling me that you don't think that there are going to be teams out there that are close enough willing to pay, then what's going to happen? That's where there would be an impasse. If I were close, I would do what I could to bring in TJ Watt. But because I am not close, I would be trying to move him and accrue draft picks and address the quarterback position.
The only middle ground here, Adam, is Omar's history, skills, whatever, in terms of like moving cap money around and getting creative.
Right.
I think that's what you probably have to do if they want to make him a one helmet guy, which I certainly think they want to do. Like, I don't think the organization shares my opinion whatsoever, or I don't think I'm alone in that opinion either, that I'd be fine trading TJ Watt. I don't think it's going to happen. I think the way you see a contract structured is getting a little unique. And I mean, maybe he makes more than Myles Garrett sum total, but not by year.
Mm-hmm. I think they're going to pay him more. Yeah, I think they'll pay him more than Miles. I think
the total package.
Yeah.
Right?
I think, and we talked about this earlier, Dorn, I think he's pissed off because they've waited. You know, Max Crosby gets done.
Yes.
Myles Garrett gets done.
Yeah.
All right, well, why haven't I gotten done?
Well, you're exactly right. That's where I think this is coming from. It's more of not, you're waiting on paying a quarterback, and some people think it's towards Aaron Rodgers and he doesn't want Aaron Rodgers here. No, it's not towards Aaron Rodgers. It's the fact that Aaron Rodgers is priority number one and he's number two now. Yeah. And he's been here for so many years, sacrificed and did all the things he has with the Steelers helmet. And now you're going to make Aaron Rodgers a priority and I have to wait? Well, I see Myles Garrett and Max Crosby already getting paid and already sewn up. Like, I would be mad too.
Yep.
I think he has a right to be a little bit upset and perturbed.
Totally agree with that. Totally agree with that. As you spell it out that way, he doesn't like Myles Garrett. I mean, I don't know if I'd go so far as to say he hates him. He doesn't like that guy. Thinks he's better than that guy. And that guy clearly thinks he's better than TJ Watt because he puts it out there on the record all the time. So if I'm Watt, I want more. And I wish that the Steelers would have valued me earlier on. If I'm the Steelers, I don't bring him back. They're going to. Now, here's a tweet from Pony. The Steelers are stuck in the past. If TJ wanted to do a deal last offseason and the only reason why they didn't was because that's not how we do business, well, that's dumb. Now Watt is more expensive and not thrilled with the direction of the team. It's the last segment there. I think a lot of people are seeing that from TJ. Oh, TJ's not thrilled with the direction of the team. Okay, fair enough. A lot of us aren't. However, TJ Watt was on the horn with Russell Wilson last year trying to get his ass into Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And that didn't work out. So, like, TJ, you can be mad about the direction of the team. You helped it get here then, too, by lobbying and trying to sell Russell Wilson on the Pittsburgh Steelers, come out here and play, and he didn't win any of his last five games.
Well, who else was he going to? I mean, if he was asked to do something, like, I mean, what other quarterback was he going to lobby to get? Like, that's probably the best option as a veteran in their minds. I don't know if getting Russell Wilson in here was TJ's fault.
No,
but Cam's fault.
But they did lobby for him. And to your point, it's the same thing with Rodgers now, though, isn't it? Like, what's the better option now? There ain't one. So pissed about it.
I disagree with the idea of him being pissed at the direction of the team. That is never the vibe I got from him last year. I agree with Doran's point that I think he's probably pissed about, like, hey, remember me. I'm the guy you're supposed to pay, the franchise player. Why are you off flirting with that guy?
Well, isn't that the direction, like, of the team, though?
I know. I see them as different things. I mean, I see direction of the team as, like, do we have enough here in here to win? Are we doing the right? Are we going out and signing the right players via free agency? Did we address a need at wide receiver by trading for DK Metcalf? Like, to me, that's the direction of the team. His own contract, that's his business. And if that's not getting done, I don't blame him for getting upset. I'd say, like, look, I'm TJ Watt. I should be a priority here. Why am I not a priority? Totally fine with that. But I see direction of the team as, do I think there's enough here? Am I happy playing here? Do I think we can win here? Like, and I do think TJ Watt believes that. I know what people on the outside might, but I think TJ Watt does.
The only semantic part of that I would disagree with is DK Metcalf getting $150 million and that clearly being a priority. And if I'm Watt, I wanted to get done first.
Yeah.
Like, get me done first.
Yep.
You say you want me to be a one helmet guy. All right. It can't just be words. Show me. I also have to laugh at the whole thing, right? I talk about genuflecting at the altar of sports. This is why it's all so silly to me. He didn't say nothing. This is all speculation. And when guys like Rappaport are talking about it, and guys like Pellicero are talking about it, and a local guy that we all trust and like, Mark Caboli, is talking about it, then yeah, we're going to talk about it. But all he did was throw up an Instagram picture.
But that's why you have to wear pants, Crowley.
That's right.
And that's why you can't wear an upside-down hat, because this is serious business.
I will say, the best argument for wearing pants is that the thigh of a man is among the most unpleasant things to put your eyes on in
the
entire
world.
Yeah, my wife is a big fan of Pat Freiermuth's thighs.
You're following up your words.
I just had this picture of Pat Freiermuth's thighs. That's actually really hard to say, is what it is. Pat Freiermuth's thighs. There. She loves his thighs. Mm. He was golfing with Ben Tenuta here at the station, and there are pictures of it. My wife's like, those are some thighs. Like, I didn't know you were into thighs. If you were into thighs, would not be with me.
She's into thighs, but it's got to be those thighs.
I've never once filled out a pair of pants.
I believe that. You could probably get both legs in one leg.
Yeah, the legging spandex type things, you can fill those out.
I don't like those either. I feel like I'm on display.
Mm.
As callous.
On display? Wait. Like
you know. Like, that's the other reason. Like, this golfer who peed on the course, cameras everywhere. Like, you got confidence in your 9.
That's what he said. He'd do it again.
I'm not sure he's away.
He got confidence in his driver. That's all I got to say.
His wood.
That was the joke.
Damn. 3 wood.
All right. Your thoughts on TJ Watt at 412-928-9370. That was the obvious joke, and I totally whiffed.
Yeah.
Totally whiffed on that one.
I got you.
You do. You always do. All right, coming up next, Shedeur Sanders visited the Steelers and then talked about it. And then Ryan Clark said something that, my God, I think everyone with a brain who likes the Steelers should disagree with. Fan Morning Show Twitter polls brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. Trust PJ.com. Should the Steelers trade TJ Watt? That's our question. Callis is trying to get a charity boxing match going between he and I. And I would just as rather cut a check to a charity than get punched in the face with all that built-up anger from that guy.
Yeah, because you're too serious. You don't know how to have fun.
I think I have a different definition than you of the word fun.
See, you're serious when you want to be serious, and you're fun when you want to have fun. You just shape your own argument when you want to. It's fun.
Getting punched in the face doesn't sound fun to me.
Isn't sports supposed to be fun, though? It'd be fun for everybody, except for you.
Again, getting punched in the face doesn't really serve my best interest.
But charity might.
This is the moneymaker right here.
Mm.
Yes. This beautiful face.
Yes. Minimum wage.
Yes.
Minimum wage. I said it was a moneymaker because people pay me not to see it.
Minimum wage.
When I'm out, the YouTube stream numbers just go through the roof.
See, but we've seen your body too, and that's not really doing it. And your voice, yeah, I don't know about that either.
So Yogi Bear, who's dropping 50 bills over there, is going to tell me about my body.
Yogi Bear.
He's talking about my voice. And
I've lost over 50 pounds now. Did I mention that yet? I'm at like 52 now, so there you go.
The guy sounds like Yogi Bear. You're talking about my voice.
I sound like Yogi Bear?
Yeah. I'm not even saying that's a bad thing. I actually think it's charming, but it seemed right to insert it.
I think if we took a poll, people would think that my voice is more soothing than yours.
More soothing?
100%.
I would agree with that. Soothing for sure.
Yeah.
I'm not here to soothe.
I'm not here to soothe. I'm Crowley. And the Dodgers. The damn Dodgers. I'm Crowley. The Pirates. Yeah. clip that.
He's really pushing you. You only got, what, a week?
Mm-hmm. I've given up being mean to Callis for Lent, Jason. I don't know if you know that.
Yeah.
He's pushing it. He is pushing it.
Yep. Damn Dodgers! I'm Crowley!
All right.
It's taking an incredible amount of restraint on your end. Good job.
I took it all out on the people who were wearing pants at baseball games. That's what happened. Wait, Dexter, what? I saw Crowley at the game on Wednesday, and bro looked like a Smurf. All right now!
Wow. Wow.
All right. So Ryan Clark said that if Shador Sanders falls past 9, the Steelers should sell the farm to go get that guy. Jason, how's that make you feel?
No.
Terrible idea.
No.
It's a terrible idea.
I like Ryan Clark a lot.
I like Shador Sanders.
I would not sell the farm to go get Shador Sanders.
No.
I would not.
For me, this is the profile you got to fit if I'm going to trade up for you in the draft. You have to have absolute superstar potential. Your ceiling has to be, I'm pointing very high, way up here. And I think Shador Sanders can, and I actually think he will be, a pretty good NFL quarterback. I'm not trading what it would take to move up into the top 15, perhaps the top 10, to get that guy.
I'm with you.
I'm not, I'll put it this way. Would you trade up for Andy Dalton?
No.
I wouldn't trade up for what Geno Smith has turned out to be.
And well, I think Shador
he's a pretty good player.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, even if he's a little bit better than him. Now, if he's Baker Mayfield and he can throw 40 touchdowns, yeah. But I don't think he could be that guy. I think if he was, then he wouldn't fall past 2 or 3.
Exactly.
And that's it for me. Like, if he's this can't-miss trade-up-four quarterback,
he's going to be gone.
He's going to be gone. He's going to be in a position with quarterback-needy teams in Tennessee, Cleveland, and New York, where he's just never going to be available to you.
And quarterback-unneedy teams that just have a stopgap, which there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
There's a lot.
Vegas,
Saints, Giants, Jets.
Seattle. You could make an argument.
Yeah. Minnesota.
Yeah, right.
I mean, Indianapolis, not Minnesota. They have J.J. McCarthy. Indianapolis has, I mean, they don't know what they're doing at that quarterback position.
No, they really
Daniel
don't.
Daniel Jones and Anthony Richardson, like, if they all pass, then I mean, no.
Steelers have far too many needs, don't they? To lump that many picks into going after Shador. I mean, if he's there at 21, I feel like that's a different discussion.
Agreed.
I need to know what's going on with Aaron Rodgers, but I don't like the idea of giving up that much capital. I mean, sell the farm. To me, doesn't mean, like, you know, giving up a fifth.
No, right? You're giving
something
up, like,
minor, like you're
next
pushing
year's
a
first
lot.
Or something.
Right?
Yeah.
No way. No.
No. And so I would say this: like, yeah, they have a ton of needs, none bigger than quarterback. So if there was the guy, if it was like the 2004 draft, and you're talking about Eli Manning and Phillip Rivers and Ben Roethlisberger,
right?
Were reasonable.
That's a different discussion.
It's a totally different discussion. Yes, because I'm not in position, I would sell the farm to address that need.
And you know what,
not
Adam?
With the guy
if
with
that
the
happens
ceiling.
Next year, if that happens next year, and you have the guy, and you have the same sort of like 9-8 season that doesn't lead to anything, maybe Mason Rudolph plays, but you say we got to still go get our guy. That's when I do it.
Yes,
that's when I do it. Not now. I want to. There's too much I need to see.
Here's another one that's going on the social media right now. Steelers Nation has erupted into a debate, and it's going across cities now with Cleveland. Who's a better quarterback, Joe Flacco or Mason Rudolph? Look, we do this
right now.
Right now, and listen, we do this for a living, and you're supposed to have opinions on everything. My opinion on that is, who gives a rat's ass?
But Joe Flacco is. Joe Flacco was last year. Better than Mason.
They both stunk.
Yeah, but Joe Flacco beat the Steelers and like made it look like he was Joe Flacco of 2009.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. And then they talked about him like he was late career John Elway.
Right. Mason didn't beat anybody last year.
No, Mason, what, he threw 9 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. Look at me getting sucked in. Listen, my point is, if you're playing considerable snaps with Joe Flacco or Mason Rudolph,
you're screwed.
Your fate is the same.
Mm-hmm.
Your fate is the same.
Hey, did you know Flacco went to Pitt?
He did, yeah.
Yeah, okay. That's why I said the Browns have, you heard, the, yeah, there we go, yeah. They have 2 former Pitt quarterbacks.
Jason gets the show.
Mm-hmm.
I think Flacco hates Pitt.
No, he doesn't.
Wasn't he mad that he lost out?
No.
And then had to go to Delaware?
He's never said that.
I could have sworn he did.
No, never.
Can we talk about the late not late in life, but late in career glow-up for Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco used to have the beaker from the Muppets. We're back on the Muppets, Dorn. He had the eyebrows.
Yeah.
And now, like, he has the hair all coiffed.
All those older quarterbacks, they all had glow-ups. I mean, even Ben, you know, Brady.
Ben.
Except for Peyton, he kind of always looked the same.
You know, when Ben was going for that glory hole on stage with McAfee, he looked good. Ben looks like he's honestly in the best shape of his life.
Yeah, less stress.
No doubt. It's not that hard.
Just chilling.
We know Spence does all the heavy lifting on the podcast. Yeah. He just sits there, drinks some beer. He's
watches
living a great
games,
life.
Like, oh. Doesn't have like zero stress.
You think Ben exercises?
I think he gets on the elliptical maybe every once in a while and does a stepper.
Yeah.
If I were Ben, you know what my exercise would be? Seriously, I just walk the course 3 times a week.
I think he does do
you
that.
You know?
Yeah. There you go.
Forget the cart. Just walk around on the course with your upside down font on your hat. Disrespecting
and
the
see,
sanctity
Ben
of
can.
The game.
Ben can go to any course that he wants to and wear whatever type of font hat that he wants to.
I 1,000% agree.
And if he pees on the course, frankly, I don't care.
Do you ever see a guy pee on the field? Probably at practice, right?
On the field?
Well, not like at the 50, but like, you know.
I mean, peed in like Gatorade bottles.
Yeah.
On the sideline.
Do people ever do that in the blue tent, you think?
Probably just, no. Like, I'm too old. I've never had the blue tent. But so trainers would hold up those like Gatorade towels around you and I would pee in a bottle.
Really?
Uh-huh.
When you got to go, you got to go.
Yeah.
All right. We'll wrap up the show coming up next. One more segment with Jason Mack. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. One last segment today, one last segment with Jason Mackey before we hand things over to the Pomp and Joe show. Jason, should we be worried about Paul Skeens' velocity?
No, no. It's cold.
It wasn't cold in Tampa or in the Dome.
No, I'm not. I'm not. I don't have the bandwidth for it. There's too much other problematic with the Pirates right now. I'm not going to worry about Paul Skeens' velocity. It's early season, building up. It's not like we're talking 3-4 miles an hour. No, I'm not concerned.
I'm just noting it. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the guy who throws triple digits hasn't done it yet.
I think he's like warming up to the task. Like, probably. When we get to May, he'll probably be hitting 100.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my hope. That would be the hypothesis, too. People have also said the arm slot might have something to do with that. I guess he's lowered his arm slot a little bit.
I mean, Paul has become a little bit more of a pitcher. I mean, he is a pitcher. I'm not saying that. But, I mean, he's talking about being more efficient with his pitches, going deeper in games, can throw as many as 7. I don't need him to throw 100.
Too many, I think.
I'm not going to tell Paul Skeens how to pitch. Paul Skeens should just keep doing him.
Well, listen, Ozzie Guillen says we should be telling Paul Skeens how to pitch. Because being a radio host
Ozzie
is
Guillen
harder
might
than
be
a manager.
Bonehead, Adam. I hate to tell you. I hate to break it to you.
I know. I wish it was Tito Francona that said.
Yeah, right, right.
Or Joe Torre.
And I mean, I haven't managed a baseball team, but I have a little bit of experience over there. I have put together a radio show. With all due respect, it's harder over there.
Oh, man, I thought he was going to go the other way.
No. I'm not going to try to act like I know exactly how to do that. Anyway, I mean, no, I'm not worried about Skeens' velocity. No, the dude works his tail off. No.
The one thing that I'll say I totally disagree with, and a couple of people jumped on the text line when Noah Hyles was talking about it. Like, people are going, oh, no, he's doing the two-seamer thing. He's going back to 2013, 14, and 15, pitch to contact.
Oh, stop.
No, I mean, he still wants to strike dudes out. He knows you can't go 7, 8, maybe eventually, hopefully, 9 innings if you're throwing 20 pitches an inning. Like, it's just, you're not going to be able to go deep enough into ball games.
I mean, they know the concept behind the splinker, right? Like, I'm guessing those people don't have any problem with Paul Skeens throwing a splinker. That's effectively a sinker that moves like a breaking ball.
You know what I've thought
about
the splinker guys is, he wants to get ground balls. It's too good a pitch for him to get ground balls. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, that's the problem. Like, they keep fouling stuff off because he can't even get enough to ground the thing to the shortstop.
And that's why you throw a two-seamer. Like, he's got stuff that breaks away from right-handers. You can throw something, a two-seamer that runs in on a righty. There's nothing wrong with that. He's not throwing it all the time. He's still four-seamer splinker heavy. Like, I don't know. I'm answering to an anonymous text line, so maybe I should settle down. But I don't see an issue with him experimenting.
Did you pitch in college?
I did.
What was your favorite pitch?
You're going to laugh. A splitter. Splinker.
Get!
No way.
I swear to you. I've had this conversation with Paul. Same deal. Same type of pitch.
Same grip?
Same grip. I mean, obviously, he's Paul Skeens, an elite, and I'm, you know, the 41-year-old loser sitting in a radio station, so I'm not comparing the two. But it was the same two-seam. You have giant hands. You split it across the ball. You throw, pronate, and you get a little bit of run. Yeah, it was the same thing. I couldn't throw a breaking ball. My curveball, slider, both terrible.
How many miles per hour was your splinker?
I don't know. In the 70s.
What was your fastball?
I probably topped out at 85.
Prolate? Was that the word?
Pronate. Look at my arm, Adam. Like, you throw like this, right-hander, like flick out to your right side. Mm. And so the idea is to get the ball to have a little bit of a fade. Man. And I could get it if I snapped and you pronate, and that's how you throw a changeup.
Yeah, pronate.
That's how you get it to move.
Because you need your fingers to be on it as long as possible.
Correct.
For drag.
Correct. And you could feel it. Like, I could feel my middle finger. I could throw it, and then that would be the last thing on it, and you're getting just a little bit of late movement. And so when you see a changeup, drop and run, if you can get to move, run left as a righty, that's great, but like run to the right, that's called fade, and that's what you're getting when you pronate.
Look at that.
Yeah, I just seen.
Sorry,
you guys
that got real dorky.
No, it's okay.
No, it's good. I like it.
You guys are waving your hands around. I feel like Jalen Milroe over here. That guy's got some meaty paws on him, Mackie. Those are some big old hands.
Mm. Man, I'd like Jalen Milroe in the third.
I would do that.
I'd be good with that.
Sure.
I don't think he lasts that long.
No.
But I'd take it.
All right, team. This was fun.
Yep.
Eclectic. It was an eclectic, irreverent show today, and it was fun. We will talk to you on Monday at 5:40. Have a pleasant weekend, gentlemen.
You guys too.
You as well.
You
too. Thank
you
for having me. You, even me? Yay!
I didn't lump you in with the gentleman, though, if you'll notice that.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.